He laid aside the insignia of his deity. What was the insignia of his deity? It was the bright outshining. It was only seen and manifested at one place. It was on that place called the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Bible says he took three of his disciples and he ascended to heaven, began to be transfigured, began to shine like that. And all of a sudden there appeared Moses and Elijah beside him. And then they were overshadowed. This is my beloved son here, this him. Because they were enthralled by what they saw and all the three of them being around at one time. Let's stay here, Jesus and Moses, right? What did they want? They wanted to be on the mountain. I want you to see me. He didn't have that insignia of Jesus, but he could. He could have walked around with that all the time. He could have got everybody to believe, look at me. Look at me shine. And I believe in the millennial kingdom. And I believe we will shine. Because the Bible says we shall see him and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every time anyone saw Jesus, he had no ornament, no insignia of his majesty laid upon him. When you looked at him, he looked like a regular man. It means sight. Comeliness is more to the point of an insignia. But the idea is there was nothing in mind. This is in the prophecy. This is who he is. This is what he is. This is what he calls us to. The rumor is he's going to be very ordinary. He's going to be very plain. But he's going to be profoundly, profoundly unique. And the profound uniqueness of our Lord Jesus is that he came in a body to die. All of his life, he lived in the shadow of vestibule, and you look at it, put in there, playing with a nail from the middle of the street. There's truth in that. Just as he knew Nathaniel was under the tree, praying, and he was a man in whom was no God. He knew his life a thousand times. Because it wasn't just a passing. And he knew every wicked, evil thing he needed to do. He had witnessed crucifixions, so they were common in his day. He had gone to Jerusalem on occasions where men were in the shadow of a. He knew he would one day. He knew it, and he saw it. He heard the agony. And that's why the Bible says he was a man suffering from it. Can you imagine living with that every day? Living with it every day is the way you're going to die, it's going to be hideous. The way you're going to die, it's going to be hideous. And the way you're going to die, it's going to be destroyed for others and not your own. You won't have to go because you deserved it, but because you love that death. That's the Christ that we follow. That's the Christ of Christmas. The Christ of Christmas is the one. The one who is real. He was a real baby, a real man. And he had a real life. And he had a real experience, and he understands everything. It was, he shall grow up, he shall. But now Isaiah is verse again where it says, to whom is the arm of the Lord? The arm of the Lord is the arm of his power, the strength of his power. He is the one who has the power of God. The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God is Christ. He is our one who settles all of the questions of his salvation. Have power. God has not given us the spirit of power bequeathed to us. It is a power that comes from. And when you see somebody come to Christ, when you see somebody's life change, it just blows the mind to see the difference. We were in our fellowship, which is where you get a gift. Getting into the fray and enjoying it, you know. You get a gift, you like somebody else's gift, you can go give them your gift and take theirs. Now, that's what happened. But the one who got, he was dancing as he went over to get his. He was just kidding. This is that I'm getting to this. About 2 years ago, before we came to Christ, it was a different guy. And he would tell you today, Florida, who walked over, what is that? Can I see? Oh, that's pretty. I want that. And she did. And she did it with that student. You couldn't help but say, and take it, you know. What I'm saying is this. Jesus Christ is with you as a man of sorrows. Why? Because the idea of his sorrow was that he had pain throughout his life. It wasn't pain like physical pain. It was pain because everywhere he looked, people were hurting. He had a heart. What that means is that means he knows what he's getting through. The Bible says we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, but with an all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. You see, he was acquainted with your pain. He was acquainted with your fear. He was acquainted with your loneliness. You know, he was the most lonely person who ever lived because nobody, he couldn't fellowship with anybody. Nobody was on his way. Nobody knew where he was from. Nobody understood the deep thoughts of Jesus. And when he had his three disciples come with him, he's laying underneath that tree crying out to the Father saying, can you remove this cup? Closest confidence is sleeping. When they grab him and take him away, everybody runs. Smite the shepherd and the sheep are sleeping. And be scattered. You got things going on, and I think I got things going on, but our Lord Jesus understands that. He saw it. He saw it down through the corridors. In fact, part of your pain was why you went ahead and left. Because it was for the joy that was set before him. So he enjoyed the cross. Did you know he despised the cross? He saw what you were going to deal with. He saw what you were going to lose and what you were going to feel. And he said, it's worth it because I can help them. I can be a change of dreams in their lives. I can fix something right. And I'm the only one. Now, folks, you and I can understand that only in a very, very small way. And sometimes we see it come out of our better side, which is very strange. Because when a building is burning, someone who is not trained is that runs in to get something. But I see this morning, and he knows every story. He knows. He was a man of sorrow because he saw that you could feel that you could. He loved you so much. If he was on the cross, you were on the cross. But he was appointed to grief. He was the one who went up into a mountain to pray after John the Baptist, but not just himself, but his brother. Probably the closest to the savor of heaven. And even he had his own desire to death. That's the execution of the suffering he was at. Are asking that he should go start getting blind to see the lame walk. And he says, he that is not ashamed of me. The tomb of Lazarus, even though he knew he was going to raise him again, perhaps maybe he was weeping because he knew he had to bring Lazarus back. I don't know. We're not told why he wept. Most people think he wept because of the grief of death and the harm. But how much more? He said, you know, if you had loved me, you'd be so glad I was going to be with the Father because I get to go back home. If you really loved me, you'd want what was best for me. So maybe he wept for him because he had to bring him back. And funny thing about Lazarus, we don't ever hear anything from Lazarus after that. He's just sitting there by the Jesus. As a supper, and they're all thinking, how can we kill Lazarus and Jesus? Because people were believing. But Lazarus doesn't stand up and write a book. He doesn't go on a circuit and say, I was dead 90 seconds or 4 days. He doesn't say, look at me. He says, look at him. Jesus is all in all. And if we look at Him, we will see the face of God. Because He came and loved us that much. The Bible says He was acquainted with grief because He saw death. He walked by that widow named who had her only son die. They're carrying out the casket. And He touches the casket and the dead rose right there. Pops up out of the casket. Boom! You know, there he is. Hey, the funeral's over now. There's nobody to bury. That's what God can do. He did it in Scott's life. He did it in my life. And for some of you, you can. And He says in verse 3 again, He says, it's from Him. And get that again, it's in that present tense, actually past tense, He went from, He is a man of sorrows, and we, He says, you know what? We are ashamed of the King. Because we're human and we're fleshly, and we ought to be humbled at our foolishness, because He is God and there is no other, and He came and He loved and we loved. They know Him. Come see a man. Told me all I ever did. She loved me anyway. Went without saying by her face. She didn't say it in John. Loved me anyway. She just said He told me everything I ever knew. Did. Come up out of that grave and live. Come see a man. Come see a man. Because I tell you, I was on my way to hell. We knew that we're all saints. You guys are saying, you see, man. I laid down in the street. It was Isaiah who said, I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips. When he saw God in His glory, it was really the only physical vision that he ever had in his life. He had that vision of the Lord high and lifted up, remember? Oh my God, I'm clueless. And what did he do immediately? I remember what I did. I have spoken cluelessly. I have spoken dirty. And he said, no. I'm around the people. I can't even be used. And so he heard the deity saying, who will be? Who shall be? And he sent an angel and heard this thing, just like he heard this. And then he heard him talking. Who is that? Who is that? And then Isaiah said, "Hear my voice." He said, "Hear your voice." I'm going to go roll around. I'm going to go out and go, "Here, what?" Because we do that. We do that kind of thing as well. Come see a man. Told me everything I ever did. He says in verse 3, he says, we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not worthy. That sometimes he was despised. He's saying basically, we fell prey to the flesh of others. He said, you know, he was despised, but we have to love. He was despised, but we esteemed him not. The word esteemed is the word we are familiar with, but the word used kind of stumbles us a little bit in understanding. Literally, we could write it this way. He was despised and we didn't love him. And that sounds very contemporary. Because this world does not love Jesus Christ, we lay down. We let people tell us that, you know, that they're meaning is that. Jesus is the one who said, there's only one way. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we flirt with foolishness. Why? Because he was despised. Because he was despised, we lay down. Because he was despised, we slumped our shoulders. Because he was despised, we hide our faces. Because he was despised, we find ourselves turning back to our own. Because we don't want to contend with people's hearts. Beloved, listen. If we will go, we will hear from his love. The way Jesus won people is by loving. The way people were loved and met by Jesus, the Bible says it in Romans, it says, it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And it will be our goodness. It will be our righteousness. It will be our love that will win the glory of Christ. We can't walk around with our chip on our shoulder. We can't walk around with our pride intact. We have to crucify that. We have to go in the spirit of giving. We have to go in the spirit of loving. We have to go in the spirit of serving. Because this is not a game, and it is for all of the students. We are out there as the hands, feet, mouth, feet, and eyes, and heart of God. we go knowing what we know of the women. They were all over the place. Do you know that before Jesus was ever born, the entire landscape of ancient world, pre-Israelite people, was littered with babies and fire images, just like Mary and Jesus today. Because they had their sunny Uranus and Mars, they had their Venus and Mercury, they had their Aphrodite and Cupid, and they were littering the landscape because the rumors were everywhere. And there are stories, there are histories. Jesus is God. And he came into this world for revelation. And the revelation is that when he arrived, he was not like anybody expected. He was a man of sorrows and acquaintances, and he was despised. And he was rejected. And you and I hide our faces from him when we ought not. We esteem him not when we ought to see him. And my challenge this morning for all of us is that we would step up and that we would be the kind of people who would say, Jesus, I believe you are who you said you are. I believe you are as you said you are. I believe you love what you say you love. And so I'm going to join you in this great rescue of God. Would you bow with me for a moment?